This is Armand Demel with you with The Positive Mind. WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you ways of living. Yeah, ideas, concepts, guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Very interesting new accusations nowadays. The word passive-aggressive, yes. Yes, passive-aggressive. More and more men come to me and they say, I don't know, you know, my wife keeps telling me I'm passive-aggressive. And so I investigate that with them and we took a look at it. What is passive-aggressive? Now, we've done this program before where we've defined passive-aggressiveness, but let's take a closer look about what it's not. Passive-aggressive, most people think that if a person is making a birthday cake and they drop it on the floor, that's passive-aggressive, meaning they're angry at the person whose birthday it is, and therefore they dropped it on the floor. That could be. But passive-aggressive behavior refers to a kind of passive, sometimes obstructionist, resistance to following authoritative instructions, both in interpersonal and in occupational situations. So it has to do with passive-aggressiveness, has to do with resistance. You're fighting something. And according to the definition in psychiatry, it manifests itself as resentment, stubbornness, procrastination, sullenness, or repeated failure to accomplish requested tasks for which one is often explicitly responsible. Okay, so now we have a definition. And the definition is that it's an active thing, passive-aggressive. It's active. It's like this person is kind of stubborn, sullen. In the Enneagram, you would see them as a 6. You know, they're ambivalent. We have many more words that we'll tell you about. It's a defense mechanism, and more often than not, it's only partially conscious. I mean, passive-aggressive people, when they're really passive-aggressive, don't see it. They see themselves as argumentative. They see themselves as being somebody who is ambivalent, but they're very intelligent, and they're usually not necessarily intelligent, but they're consciously kind of fighting you. Now, this is a passive-aggressive behavior. Is anything that is a behavior that seems to resist getting a task done or getting something you want done. But passive-aggressive personality, not that you should ever use this lightly on anybody, has another word. It's called the negativistic personality disorder. It's a personality that is marked by pervasive patterns of negative attitudes and passive, usually disavowed resistance in interpersonal and occupational situations. The person's always fighting you. They fight. They make too much noise. Right? And they're negative. Now, this negativistic attitude is very important. They're a sourpuss in many ways. They throw the limp rag into your excitement, the damp rag. They're always talking about two sides of everything. They're kind of worrisome in many ways. Now, merely being passive-aggressive isn't a disorder but a behavior. Sometimes it's perfectly rational. Sometimes you want to resist, and you're passive-aggressive in the way you resist because you don't go along with what's being said or done. When the behaviors are part of a person's personality style, the repercussions that you have for being a passive-aggressive person are not usually immediate. You know, they accumulate over time as the person affected by the person comes to recognize. You know, they just eventually say, or the person's in love with somebody who's passive-aggressive, you say, how come you're always late? How come you always drop the birthday cake? How come, you know, but you see this negativistic attitude all the time. There is one line of thought which people have, which is that if a person is sweet, if they're nice, if they're givers, they're passive-aggressive. Not necessarily so. You can kill somebody with kindness. You can do it. That is, I guess, a form of passive aggression. But it's not that kind of person. This is the person who is in the who is going to be ambivalent, who is going to be argumentative. In fact, let me tell you some of the common signs. Ambiguity, common sign of a passive-aggressive person. They avoid responsibility by claiming forgetfulness. I forgot. Oh, yeah, I forgot to do that. They blame people. Now, this is very important because it's a dog ate the homework story, you know? Why didn't you get that done? Well, you see, I didn't get it done because, and you blame somebody. Chronic lateness and forgetfulness. Complaining. They are always complainers. They don't express hostility or anger openly, you know, but they may leave notes around the house. You know, you forgot to do this, you forgot, you know. They have a fear of authority. Now, that's a very interesting thing, because why is a person passive-aggressive in the first place? Because the other side of passive-aggressive, whatever that is, should we call it aggressive-aggressive or just aggressive? Well, the other side of it means confrontation. Passive-aggressive people say, I don't want to confront directly. Now, there are some people I know who claim that they can't confront directly. But, you know, sometimes confronting directly is stupid. When I say stupid, I mean if somebody's yelling at you and screaming at you and they're yelling at you at the top of their lungs, right, and they're threatening even to hit you, and you say, oh, I must be weak because I'm not confronting them. No. Wise thing. Be passive-aggressive. You know, back off. Don't go anywhere near them. See, you may not have a fear of confronting somebody. It may just be that you have the wisdom of not confronting somebody who is openly hostile. That kind of makes sense. The fear of authority, fear of competition. They don't like competition. They have a fear of dependency also. So the kind of this ambivalence and complaining always kind of keeps you off balance. They have a fear of intimacy. They tend to make things chaotic. A small thing. Gonna go visit my friend this weekend, and my friend invited me to spend the night. Well, I think I'll go, and I'll drive out there in the morning, but I'm not sure if I'm gonna stay over because I'll drive back at night, maybe because I have this, and things become chaotic around them. They have an almost intentional inefficiency. You tell them to do something and they just don't do it. Just not done. Hey, did you get the thing on the shopping list? Nope. Forgot, I was busy, the dog is eating the homework. Okay. They lie. They lose things. They could be obstructionistic. They kind of get in the way. They get in your face. There's a, you know, sometimes it's a good thing in life when you want to have like a malicious compliance, which I'll talk about later. But sometimes you just want to obstruct. You know, you don't want to, but these people, they tend to obstruct all the time. They procrastinate. Now, procrastination is another way and a symptom of the passive-aggressive personality. So if you know somebody who's a corporate leader, who doesn't ever get angry, but is a corporate leader and he's successful in his job, most likely he's not passive-aggressive. He may be non-aggressive. Well, he's pretty aggressive because he's a corporate leader. So you can't call him passive-aggressive because he is doing things. He's getting things done. He's not procrastinating. He's not indecisive. He's somebody who is decisive. Decisiveness does not go along with passive-aggressiveness. They're kind of opposites. They have a lot of resentment. They resist suggestions from others, no matter what you tell them something. Sometimes they'll even ask you for advice. You give them advice, they don't do it. They are stubborn. And now sarcasm is another important tool of the passive-aggressive person. Somebody who's always sarcastic, you could be sure, is a passive-aggressive person in general. And they're... And they withhold understanding. There's kind of an interesting sign. They don't understand you. They withhold it. They kind of it's almost like I can't understand you. You know, no matter how you try to explain themselves, they don't get you, no matter what you're saying. And it's a way, it makes you bend yourself out of shape, trying to figure out how you're going to explain things. Did you ever try to explain something to somebody, and no matter what you say to them, they don't get you? Well, and then you're getting frustrated. Well, this is a great way to get you, right? Because that's what we do as humans. You know, we've learned to get away from predatory aggression. We are no longer, you know, among aggression itself, if we go from passive aggression, we have to say to ourselves, well, if passive aggressive is this kind of behavior that we're talking about where the person is late and they are obstructionistic and they don't do the job and they're indecisive, that's passive aggressive. Well, what's the opposite of passive aggressive? All right, everybody guess. All right, what is it? Aggressive aggressive? Well, if passive aggressive is not good because, you know, it shows a malfunction, does that mean the opposite of passive aggressive shows super function, like aggressive aggressive? Well, clearly not. Not aggression. Aggression. Aggression can be presented in many ways, okay? It could be a thing called predatory aggression, which is the attack of a prey on a prey by a predator. You just get attacked. That's straight physical, called predatory aggression. Somebody beats up somebody. Then there's the fear-induced aggression. And that's aggression associated with attempts to run. You know, you corner a rat and the rat attacks you, right? You go near a snake and the snake kind of goes to bite you. That's fear-induced. And that's what that rattle on a rattlesnake is. It's fear. He's rattling, say, stay away from me. I'm afraid of you. There's irritable aggression, which is aggression induced by frustration, and it's directed against any nearby target. You have a rough day at work, right? You go kick the dog. That's called the irritable aggression. Then there's territorial aggression, which is a defense of a fixed area against intruders. And it's like if you feel, you just feel this rage come up when people cross your boundaries and you don't know what it is. There's maternal aggression, and that's a female aggression to protect her offspring from a threat. Paternal aggression also exists. There's many a man I've talked to, and I've said to them, well, you know, do you ever get rageful? Do you ever really feel like you could kill somebody? And they say, no, I couldn't imagine it. I said, imagine somebody hurting your child. And they could all imagine it. Everybody I know who's a parent, well, not everybody, but most people I know who are parents can imagine killing someone who is trying to hurt their child. You got it in you, you know. Then there's instrumental aggression, which is kind of aggression directed towards obtaining some goal. And it's like you use it for intimidation. You know, you use it to scare somebody. You're trying to get someone. These are all the different kinds of aggressions. Now, if we have all this aggression, none of this sounds particularly good, does it? And then we have passive aggression. That doesn't feel very good. How do you know when you're dealing with aggression? Okay, let's talk about aggressive intent for a moment. How do you know when the person you're talking to has an aggressive intent, meaning that they're talking to you about something, expressing their feelings, and you don't know what their intent is? Well, the answer is very simple. It's in the word, the use of the word you. If you hear the word you often enough, the intention of the aggression is more to dump on you than it is to solve a problem. It's a dumping mechanism. And you've all lived with this. You, this. And it's like a song. You begin to hear it. So it's the accusatory you is a sign that you're dealing with an aggressive intent, which is an intent to kind of hurt, rather than it's an intent to clarify or work things out. Armand DeMille here with you with The Positive Mind. We're talking to you about different forms of aggression, and we're talking about passive aggression first to clarify that that when we talk about passive-aggressive personality functioning, we're talking about a negativistic attitude. These are sourpusses. They have a basic bottom line, there's vinegar in everything. You know, I like vinegar, right? But vinegar in everything, right? A little sour, a little, that makes you scrunch your nose up. They resent people, right? So we have this one form called passive-aggressive, okay? So if it's not passive-aggressive, and it's not aggressive-aggressive, active-aggressive, what is it called? What is the opposite of passive-aggressive? Assertive? Is that what it is? Okay, and maybe it is. You know, here's an interesting thing. Children. When children play games, is there a passive-aggressive game? Or are they all aggressive-aggressive games? You know, certainly anything you play with those joysticks are aggressive-aggressive games, right? Is there anything that's like a passive-aggressive game? We teach children to charge ahead. We teach everybody, every parent wants their child to be aggressive so they can defend themselves in the world. And almost every toy kind of marks this combative readiness. Maybe not dolls, huh? Dolls? Well, okay. We're going to have to take your calls and talk a little bit about this because I understand you must have a lot of feelings about it. Now, the result of aggressive behavior is a very interesting thing. You know, aggressive people are very frequently the most popular person in town. They seem to be, you know, the one who's out there, the leaders, the rock stars. They're aggressive, right? But the result of aggressive behavior is that the aggressor gets much more of what they want in life than the non-aggressor. However, they lose the respect of people. See, if somebody is, I heard somebody recently talk about someone else who had a reputation, oh yeah, but she loses it. She screams. So if you know somebody who's a screamer and loses it and yells, you know, like a professional who's kind of yelling at people, if you know that kind of a person, you kind of lose respect for them. Because there is something about being able to maintain your self, being able to hold yourself together. It's one of the signs we want to see, you know, in people. If you're going to hire somebody, you don't want to hire somebody who loses their cool, right? So an aggressive person, a person with aggressive behavior, loses the respect of other people. In addition to that, they appear to have more friends, but the friends they have are usually passive people who either fear leaving them or like riding their coattails. You see, it's kind of nice to have an aggressive person who takes all of the lumps, who's the target, and you just are hanging around for the party. You know, it's like you have the alpha male who's out there doing, he's got his choice of all the females. But then those secondary males, they have some nice choices too. You know, so they just stick around for the party. But the aggressive person, the person who exhibits the most aggressive behavior, doesn't get very much respect and doesn't have any really true friends. They may be people who kind of associate with them because it's strength and strength. You know, the two of us together can be more powerful. But it's not a real buddy, not a real friend. See, you could talk aggressively. Aggressive behavior means standing up for your rights, but in a way that, but it's not, both aggressive and assertive means standing up for your rights, but the aggressive behavior violates the rights of others. It's saying what you believe in a way that assumes it is the only truth, and that any contradictory statement is wrong. That's aggressive. That's aggressive talking. So when a person says for a fact, here's the way it is, here is the truth, that's aggressive talking. Assertive talking is kind of relating to who you are and saying what you believe, but leaving room there for someone else to have an opinion. Armand DeMille here with you with The Positive Mind. We're talking about aggressive behavior and passive-aggressive behavior and even compliance and other things that go along with it. Malicious compliance is a very interesting thing. It's a phrase used to describe the behavior of a person who intentionally inflicts harm by strictly following the orders of management, knowing that compliance with the orders will lose a loss of some in some form that damages the manager's business. So, for example, if the manager says, don't answer the phone, don't spend too much time on the phone. Malicious compliance is you get on the phone, you talk to somebody, and you get off rudely. You're following the rules. If the boss says, I want you to throw everything away, you throw everything away, even the stuff you know he's going to need. It's called malicious compliance. A superior gives erroneous or incomplete orders without knowing the consequences of it. You know, the subordinate who knows, has knowledge of harmful to the job based on the orders given, but he just sticks to the orders. I'm going to just do exactly what you say, let you suffer for it. That's called malicious compliance. That's another one of the strategies that people use. It's not a passive-aggressive one. What would you say Gandhi was? What was Gandhi? Was he passive, passive-aggressive? I mean, certainly strong, certainly stood up for what he believed in. Right? Stood up. But what do you call turning the other cheek? Well, what is that? You know, is that assertive? Is that passive? Is it aggressive? In a way, it's a statement of power. Armand DeMille with you. Now, passive people allow others to choose things for you. They're basically passive people, tend to be emotionally dishonest, indirectly self-denying. In win-lose situations, if you're a passive person, you lose. And if you do get your way, it is only indirectly. That's what a passive person, that's how a passive person generally functions. An assertive person, they choose for themselves. They're appropriately honest, they're direct, they're self-respecting, self-expressing, straightforward. They convert win-lose to win-win, which is different than aggressive. Aggressive people choose for other people inappropriately. They are tactlessly honest. They're direct, self-enhancing, self-expressive, derogatory. The win-lose situation is they must win. So the aggressive person must win. The passive person must lose. Or if they win, they win passively. You know, it's like a hyena who picks up the leftovers of a lion. And the assertive person tries to create a win-win situation. How you feel about it, if you're either of these three, if you're a passive person, every time you get an exchange of some sort, an aggressive exchange, you get anxious, you get ignored, you feel helpless, you feel manipulated, you get angry at yourself. If you're an aggressive person, you feel righteous, you feel superior, you feel controlling. You know, if you're an aggressive person, sometimes you also feel guilt because you take over without thinking about other people. That's aggressiveness. But the assertive person, which is the thing we're kind of promoting, is confident, self-respecting, goal-oriented, and they feel a kind of a sense of accomplishment. The feeling is. Now, others' view of you, the way people see you, when you're passive, people look at you with a lack of respect. They don't trust you. You can be considered a passover, and they don't know where you stand. You're just too much of a pushover. Right? A passive person is not given much respect. To an aggressive person, how people view the aggressive person, vengeful, angry, they also distrust, and they're afraid of the aggressive person. But the assertive person is different because the assertive person gets respect, trust, because you know where they stand. The person is just simply saying, here I am. Here's who I am. So generally the outcome of kind of exchanges, the passive person, others achieve their goals at your expense. Your rights are always violated if you're passive. You know, that's it. And if you're an aggressive person, you achieve your goals at others' expense. Your rights are upheld. Others' rights are violated. Who cares about others' rights? But if you're an assertive person, your outcome is determined by above-board negotiation. Everybody's rights are respected. Lastly, what's the basic belief system underlying all three? The passive person's underlying belief system is, I should never make anybody uncomfortable or displeased except myself. That's the belief of a passive person. I should never make anybody uncomfortable or displeased except myself. The aggressive person is, I have to put others down to protect myself. It is essential that I rip at other people. And to the assertive self, I have a responsibility to protect my own rights. I respect others. I may not respect their behaviors, but I will not attack them for their behaviors. This is Armand DeMille with you, with The Positive Mind. When we get back from our break, I want to tell you a little bit about some of the biology related to aggression. And we also want to take your calls at 212-209-2900. Not yet. We'll be taking them in about 5 minutes. You know, there's a funny thing about aggression being a male or a female thing. Is it a funny thing? Is aggression kind of, does it go along with testosterone? That's one of our questions. Is male aggression basically testosteronic? You know, it's like this kind of, if you got that hormone, then therefore, what is female aggression? What is women's aggression? Where is that coming from? Well, they have testosterone too. Could it be that a person who is very low on one hormone and high on another hormone will feel a particular thing? Well, let's look at that for a minute. A man taking steroids will be much more aggressive than a man not taking steroids. Steroids are one of the hormones, see? So a woman who has a drop in estrogen, right, can have suddenly feel herself being compensated by having other hormones come in, and it could be very, very aggressive. Premenstrual syndrome. Men have this, and women have it as well. And I'm not sure in today's society where people tend not to hit other people, if what we haven't seen is an increase, a strong increase in women's aggressiveness. See, now this doesn't mean to put them down, but the truth of it is, in the past, the guys were bigger. So you didn't, you know, that was just it, you know, and hitting was okay. But now, as a woman develops more of a right to be herself in this society, now what I'm seeing is women have more of a right to unleash their aggression. So they're screaming more and they're yelling more at their men. And now it's a funny thing. The men who don't have a right to hit their relationships in one way or another, they're getting quiet. So what do? They're getting quieter and quieter, and they're keeping more quiet, whereas in the past they would have gotten more aggressive. And the women are getting louder and louder and angrier and angrier. Is that really happening? Is this shift taking place? Maybe it's about time. Maybe that's what we need to do. So who is the wise one? The wise one is not the person who is ever aggressive. Aggressive for the defense of someone else. Aggressive to get what you want. Assertive is the thing we're looking for. Assertive considers the feelings of others, and it gets you what you want, but there are no victims. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Is passive the way to go? No, we're not looking for passive either. We'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes.
Another day slips away like a baby from a chair. I watch the fall. No one seems to care at all. to the sea, but I'm glad it didn't happen to me. Not to me.
Here with you with The Positive Mind. That's Jen Chapin, C-H-A-P-I-N, from the album Linger, Passive People. Isn't it ever? Hey, listen, friends, this is Armand DeMille with you, in case you just tuned in, talking about passive, aggressive, submissive. What about submissive? There's another active form of behavior. Submissive, you know, you're a wolf, and you got a big wolf comes over and he wants to eat you up. And he's bigger than you are. You roll over on your back, you bare your belly, you say, here's my belly, eat me if you want to, and the big wolf walks away. Submissive is a strategy for not getting eaten up. You know, that's one. People have learned to have submissive behavior around very aggressive people, and they have found that certain submissive behaviors are pleasurable. That's why you see this thing such as, you know, go ahead, take me over. Go ahead, do anything you want to me. I want to just enjoy it as a passive person. So very often, you know, what we see as submissive behavior is a mask for the pleasure of not having to be in control and having to do anything. You know, it's quite a relief. There used to be a thing I would do with couples. It was called a master-slave experience. And here's what I would do. I would have a couple go home. And I would tell the couple that for one day, the man is going to be in control of what goes on. This was for heterosexual couples, but I would do it with homosexual couples just as well. One person's going to be in complete control. The other person must do everything the person says. Everything the person says. So they have to do everything the person says, no matter what it is. And so they will do it, you know, and it's... Wait just one second. Oh, we got to put on some music. I'll be right back.
No, no, keep going, man. Just keep going. Don't worry, Bill. Keep going.
Okay. All right. Now we're going okay. Here we go. We're back. We had a moment there. Thank you. So where was I? I was talking about the experiment for couples. Are you hearing that? Are you hearing me there? Let me put on some music here and see what's happening. We'll be right back with you, my friends. You're not hearing.
I tried to convince you to go and do your program, but you wouldn't listen to me.
What's the problem, Michael?
It's a monthly EAS test.
So I got caught.
Just don't talk for a moment. You're on the air. Don't say anything.
Okay. All right. That was our monthly EAS test. All right. Here we are, my friends, back with you. Armand DeMille here with you, the positive mind. Hey. Okay, we're cool. Yes, here we go. So, we're talking about subjectivity, and we're talking about submissiveness, and we're talking about how people are, at times, they decide to surrender on purpose, okay? So, what happens is... You get a people would go home and I would give them this experiment, and the experiment was you go home and you must do everything the other person tells you to do. So now, of course, as a woman, you're going to resent it. You're going to say that's what he always wants, right? No, but in this particular case, you go home and the person, you do everything the other person tells you to do, every inch of it. You do nothing on your own. So if the man says to you, I want you to make dinner, that's not good enough. You have to know, he has to tell you exactly what to make. And you have to do everything he says, no questions asked. And here's what you learn from it. And then the following day, you reverse roles. You, the woman, or the wife, or the other person who's in charge, says, okay, I am now in charge. You do everything I say. And the man has to sit there. He's not allowed to read a book. He's not allowed to do anything. He has to do everything you say, no matter what it is. Massage my feet. Give me sex. Do this for me. Do whatever I want. Go to the store. But no initiative. You don't tell them to do anything. You don't tell them to I'd like you to make me lunch. You have to tell them what you want for lunch, you know? So what they found, what these couples inevitably found, is that there was a tremendous relief in not having to take responsibility, to have someone else be in charge. How often in your life would you love to just surrender? You know? Well, in submission and in passivity, there is a secret to that. There is something about the beauty of not having to be in charge. So one of our brilliant young listeners asks a question. What happens when a passive person gets together with a passive person, but there's an issue between the two of them? You know, there's a real fix for you. Now you have a passive person who's getting together with a passive person, but there's an issue between them, and they just don't know how to deal with it. Well, here's what always happens. Whenever two passive people get together, one person tends to revert to becoming aggressive, and the other one stays passive. Yeah, it's like a funny thing. It's like when a disorganized person gets together with an organized person, If you get two disorganized people together, did you ever have a roommate when you were in college and you were a mess and they were a mess? One of the two of you become the organizer. That's what happens. One person tends to take the other side of the role. One person tends to take over. So in answer to your question, Carl, generally when two passive people get together, the one that's passive generally will, one of the ones will become the aggressor and direct the thing. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the... Oh, let's take a call for the first time. Let's take our first caller today. 212-209-2900. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille. I'm going to give them a chance to make their call.
Not yet. Give them a chance.
212-209-2900. You know, there's a fruit fly, because everybody should know this about this. The Drosophila melangaster, one of my favorite fruit flies. I don't know if you've never had one, Drosophila melangaster. They have genes, DNA, that determine whether they're going to fight or not. If you study their DNA, you could shift their DNA. You could take the DNA from one dragomaster, Drosophila melangaster, from a male, and you could put it in a female, and the female becomes the aggressive fighter and fights as aggressively as a male would. So we're just learning now that we can move the DNA around so as to shift aggression into genetic structures. Does that mean that all of us have on some level some form of genetic part of it, an encoding that makes us more aggressive than others? It may be inherited.
Ready.
212-209-2900. Let me take a call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Mr. DeMille, Darryl McPherson, Bronx, New York. How are you, sir?
Hi, Dominic. Good.
I ask your forgiveness if I'm sharing anything that, on an energetic level, that is unkind, but there is great furor and anger over this way. And what I was appreciating was your explanation of passive-aggressive.
Yeah.
And so contextually, when one finds one trapped by one's behavior, and...
Let me get to the beginning of it. Where's the furor and anger? Over which way? You said over this way. Over
no, I'm to be more specific, I right this moment, am absolutely in terror, aggressively anger terror, you know, lashing out terror.
Really?
And so we're taking a lot of energy.
And why is that happening to you?
There are a number of things that I had wanted to accomplish today that I'm choosing to not put on the schedule.
And so there you are stuck, and you get very angry when you don't accomplish what you want to accomplish?
More angry when I don't accomplish what is in my interest to accomplish rather than what I want to accomplish. I accomplish what I want. However, in this instance, it happens to be negative.
Yeah, so this is that very good description of the passive-aggressive. This fits perfectly, right? Fits perfectly.
Nervous laughter. We love it.
No, but it fits perfectly, Donald, because this is exactly what they're talking about. It's what's in your best interest, you know? You're defeated by what's in your best interest, is that right?
That is correct.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
And what's even more challenging for me is that more and more I'm understanding the behavior, I'm understanding what can be done to make the appropriate corrections, and at point then the 2- or 3-year-old comes out and says, I'm not changing. I don't care what you know.
Oh, that's really beautiful.
You can't make me.
Hey, that's beautiful that you could see that in yourself. Now, there's cure. Let me tell you something about this whole idea of dealing with this. You know, in psychotherapy, a lot of people go to therapy to try to get out of being passive-aggressive, and it never works. It rarely works because the people don't really want to see it. There's such a strong defense against seeing it for the very reason that you're talking about, that you're willing to face it. You know, the treatment is usually difficult because the efforts to convince a person that they are being, that they're being aggressive, they don't want to, they want to deny it. Look at you. You are noticing and seeing your own behaviors, seeing the child inside you who's rebelling. You're in some way embracing that child, even though you're being critical of it. You're on your way. That, you're a lucky guy.
Well, thank you so much.
And I'm not just saying that to say a positive thing, because even though you're tortured by this, you're amazingly on a road that most people don't get a chance to have.
Well, you know? I'm a product of the DeMille Center and some other, and the Bowling Center and some other places, and I really appreciate what really keeps me in the game, as I call it. What keeps me on the planet is knowing that the answers are there, and I am able to execute the answers, even if I don't, quote unquote, get the help that I want the way I want it.
Yeah, I understand.
And thank you so much for Andrew Tatarsky.
Oh, Andrew Tatarsky. What
a beautiful... Many.
Andrew, sure. A lifesaver if I ever heard one. Good.
Thank you
That's
so much.
That's many years ago. That was great.
70.
Yeah, back when I was five.
Back when he was a young child.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for calling in.
Stay blessed and highly favored.
Bye-bye. 212-209-2900, Armand DeMille. So, yes, a very important thing. Passive-aggressive people do not like treatment. In fact, they're very difficult to treat. Just as many people know the abstract sequentials are hard to treat, sixes in the Enneagram are hard to treat, because this passive-aggressive ambivalent functioning is so hard to treat, because there's an there's a nature inside there which is denying the aggression. So if you are successful at treating them, they recognize the aggression, and then they leave therapy. And usually over something like, you know, I've got to go feed my dog who's eating my homework. You know, it's something, some excuse. I've got to go on vacation this month. I'm buying a house, so I can't afford therapy. Things like that. 212-209-2900. So the only way is bop them on the head. You know, I mean, it's what do you do if you're a wife and you have a truly passive-aggressive husband? What do you do? What do you do? Well, I think Daryl just kind of showed us something. Recognize the child inside of every one of these people. Recognize that that child is scared. They're scared of getting beat up. They're afraid of being hurt by somebody else. They're afraid that if they open their mouth directly, somebody's going to punish them. And just see the scared child. And don't humiliate a person for it. Just acknowledge it. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Please, let me take another call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello,
Hello
there. Yes.
Yes, Armand.
Yes.
David. Yes, I kind of went full circle. I started off first with the passive, then I went to aggression, and I think now I'm going to stick with assertive.
Yes, you've seen that. You've seen that. Well, you know, it's very interesting because when you, if you're from a culture that is so used to being passive, and I'd be willing to bet that you come from a culture that is just basically people who don't express anger easily. Is that true?
Yes, that's absolutely true.
Right. So where are you from? Where's your family from?
From the Caribbean.
From the Caribbean, right.
Yeah.
The Caribbean. Now, that there's a group of people who just like to say, you know, no problem. No problem. I'm not going to get mad. No problem. I'm not going to get steamed up because it's too hot to get steamed up. Because we're too close to the equator. Because you get too hot and too excited, you just boil and you sweat too much. Right? No problem. As most of my friends
from
the Caribbean are. The problem is then you take this passive kind of place, but when you turn that on, and I have many friends from the Caribbean who have fought in wars, who are warriors, people I know who have kind of rebelled and taken it on, when they come up out of that spot and they say, I'm not going to take it anymore, well, a thing happens to them. They go boil on the other side. And you get that full aggression for a little while, and then, if you're lucky as you are, you know, the person winds up, if you're as lucky as you are, the person winds up at some point saying, okay, there's a place in the middle here where I could settle.
Right. It seems like I found the the happy medium, well, if you want to put it that way.
I'm glad for you. Let me ask you something. Is there a romance in your life?
Yes. I was going to say that my wife is all fire. And it's got. I think the fire is what got me out of the rut or the passive aggressive state. You know, I felt like, oh, I'm under attack. But I knew it wasn't her, and we, you know, we spoke about it, and I said to her that, you know, I feel this way, but I know it's not true, but it's kind of tricky that, you know, I have this insight, but, you know, I'm not working on it or what have you. But, you know, through a series of counseling sessions and, you know, other forms of intervention, yeah, I was able to, you know, get a handle of, you know, what is going on. But the assertive is much less energy requiring than as with the passive.
Yeah, I fully understand.
Yeah.
Fully understand. Good for you. Glad to hear
it. Thank you.
Take care. Sure. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello there.
Hi. This is exciting. I kind of realize that I'm more aggressive than anything else. I try to be assertive as much as I can, and I don't know if it's a lack of patience that I have with people, but I kind of like, I was listening to you before, and you said that you kind of like control the situation. People may not have respect for you because they're scared. And I don't really know how to figure out how to distinguish between the two.
Did you have a younger sister?
An older sister.
An older sister. What was she like?
She was horrible.
That's what I could hear.
We're good friends now, but I was very angry, you know, growing up. And now I'm kind of...
Well, tell me what you were angry about with your sister. Because I think that this is the root of what you're talking about.
You know, she just... Both of us had some problems with our father, and, you know, she was 5 years older, so she took it out on me, and I, you know, kind of like family issues, but now...
But you didn't take it sitting down, did you, from her? When she was abusive with you, you fought her back?
Years later, when I eventually was taller than her, she's much shorter now, but I was always a little afraid, and, you know, now I like to be in control of the situations, I like to start the things, you know, and...
So you became her, in effect.
Well, I guess, you know, it's interesting because I'm very sensitive around her, and she's very angry and aggressive, and my current boyfriend is very sensitive around me, and I'm like my sister, so it's a little...
What do you mean he's sensitive around you? He's afraid of you?
He's I can kind of control the situation, I can make the decision, he becomes a pushover, and, you know, we're not really working out so well now, but I feel like...
Well, that was wise of you to choose somebody like that for a little while, you know? You know, we have people who come in our lives for a short period of time, and when they come in our lives for a short period of time, sometimes we just want to have somebody there so we could learn. So you chose somebody who would not resist you too harshly, while you learned that if you don't have somebody resisting your aggression, you eventually will control your own aggression, because you don't like yourself this way, right?
No, it's so interesting when you said earlier that the aggressive person is kind of like... Everybody else comes to the party, or the aggressive person makes the decisions, and everyone's sort of like there, but they may not have respect for that person. I don't want to be that way.
I understand. What's your name?
Kimberly.
Kimberly, I fully understand. You're a brave person. Keep at it. Keep with the introspection. We will be learning more and more.
Very interesting.
Yeah, I'm glad. Glad you're here. Thank you for calling in. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're going to have to go. Look at this. It's just about our time. I will be... Here's something for Zuzu, by the way. I will be back with you on tomorrow. Just tomorrow. Just a scant 23 hours from now. So stay where you are and turn me back on. And if you want to hear today's program, you could go to thepositivemind.com or you can go to wbai.org. and listen to it. But if you have any comments that we haven't been able to get to and you'd like to teach me something I could use on the air or ask a question, send me an email, please, at Armand, A-R-M-A-N-D, @thepositivemind.com. I'll be back with you tomorrow, my friends, at 1 p.m.
And you're tuned to Listen.